Klaatu here. This is episode, I think, 4 of How to Be an Urban Camper. In the previous episodes, we've covered why you might want to urban camp. We have covered how to find shelter and how to maintain personal hygiene. In this episode, we're going to be talking about organization, how you need to kind of pack your stuff and what you need to keep on you, what you can stash, where you can stash it, listener feedback about the hygiene issues, specifically about the shower. I'm telling you, the shower, for some reason, big topic. And admittedly, it does become more of a concern or more of something that you have to think about in your daily life when you're urban camping. If you think about how much of a no-brainer it is when you've got an apartment or a house with a shower. You can shower whenever you want, whenever it's convenient, whenever you feel the need. When you're urban camping, that's not necessarily a no-brainer. It sometimes takes real planning and real thought. So it's no surprise that that would be a topic of much discussion. One person emailed me about patchouli, and patchouli, of course, is a spice or an herb or something that people use as a sort of, not a deodorant, but, well, okay, maybe a deodorant. I've never used patchouli. I've always liked the smell of patchouli, actually. I don't mind it at all. But it is associated a lot with sort of a group of people, and those groups of people are called hippies. And I have no problem with hippies, and I have no problem with the hippie lifestyle. In fact, a lot of things about it I really admire. But I never really identified myself with hippies, so I never really kind of looked into patchouli. I never really knew how to go about looking into it. You know, it's kind of one of those things that I think you have to learn from other people. So I've never really tried that, but I certainly wouldn't be opposed to trying it. And so, yeah, that is an option. And the controversy of showers, as I had put in the last episode, some people were asking me why I said that there was a controversy. It just boils down to, I heard from a couple of people, one of them was a real-life dermatologist who said that showers on a regular, like, daily basis aren't actually that good for the skin. So it's not actually, and water apparently is kind of a harsh substance. Like, if you think about what water does to stones, you know, in on mountainsides or in riverbeds, it actually polishes the stone, you know, just from running over it a lot. So water's it's not corrosive, I guess. It is a very intense substance. Obviously, I'm not a scientist, but yeah, so it can be a harsh thing. So there is a little bit of controversy among people who know about science and stuff about whether showers, you know, how much showering is really appropriate. So that's what I was referring to. I have no clue myself, so I hesitate to sound like I'm trying to give advice or anything. And then the other comment was, or rather the third comment was, the possibility of basically sponge baths, you know, like going into a private bathroom in a cafe or something and just using that, you know, sink and the soap there and just kind of bathe that way. I'm pretty sure that doesn't work. It seems like it would, right? I mean, it's soap, water, your skin, together again. But it just doesn't have the same effect, really, as a real-life shower. So you might want to avoid that as an option. I know that that doesn't work just from, like, cross-country road trips or long road trips. Not necessarily cross-country, but, you know, road trips to some location on a ridiculous budget where all you're buying basically is gas. That just doesn't work. After a while, your body starts to smell. Even that Purell stuff, it just doesn't work. There's just nothing like the real thing being a shower. That's probably the last any of us wants to hear about personal hygiene on Hacker Public Radio, so I'm going to close the issue there. Oh, and someone mentioned, actually, that I didn't really give my contact information. I didn't mean to do that. I didn't mean to make everyone hunt my email address. So it's klaatu@hackerpublicradio.org or klaatu@member.fsf.org. You can email me at either of those. Should go through, should work fine. So anyway, the topic for this episode is organization, because I found that even though you only have a little amount of stuff, you also are consolidating all those few items into small spaces. Obviously, if you had a big apartment, or even a small apartment, and you had very, very few things, you could just line them up and you'd always know where everything was, because there they are, right in plain view. But what you're doing, really, is reducing the number of things that you've got and reducing the space that you store them in. At least for me, I find that, well, I have a 4-backpack system, I guess you could call it. I don't really think of it as a system, but I have 4 backpacks. And one of those is full of books. It's a big gym bag. It's got all of my geeky and science fiction books and technical books in it. And that's one bag that I have. Now that I could do without. If I ever lose a place to store that, I would simply leave it behind because I certainly wouldn't want to carry that around. So that's one thing. What I do is I store them at whatever job I have. Okay, so three jobs so far. The job where I was living in my office, I had all those books in my office. I mean, they're all, most of them are reference books anyway, except the science fiction novels. A lot of the books are really good things to have as a reference if you have like a geeky job or anything like that. And then I got a different job as a technical writer and I put those on my desk. Most recent job that I have also has an office and so I just have all the books there. So you can store certain things at whatever place you decide is going to be more or less your home base. So that's what I did with that backpack. So I don't tend to think of that book bag, quite literally, as part of my belongings. I mean, I do own those books, so they are part of what I own. But like I say, I consider them very expendable. I don't carry it around on me on any regular basis. So really, I consider it almost a three-backpack system. And the three backpacks that I carry around break out into a backpack for toiletry items. So all the things like toothbrushes, razor, shaving cream, nail clippers, floss, cologne, deodorant, whatever you carry around for sort of, well, hygiene. That's one backpack. The other backpack is for clothes, and then the other backpack, the third backpack, is for the stuff that you're actually using during the day. So for me, of course, that would be a computer or three, iPod with Rockbox on it, of course, a SansaFuse with Rockbox on it, of course, and cables and things like that. Those are my three backpacks, and one thing that you should always make sure that you've got, should never forget, your towel. That was a sort of a reference to a Hitchhiker's Guide, never mind. So you've got one backpack, that would be your toiletries backpack. What you might want to do here is, I find this backpack to be one of those things that I carried around a lot. And if it wasn't the whole backpack, then I would at least subdivide the sort of everyday items like toothbrush and floss and stuff like that in and contact solution and contacts and things like that. I would put those into a separate little zipper bag, and I would put that zipper bag into my everyday backpack, you know, with my computers and things like that. Not right next to my computers in case of spillage and stuff, but I would have it on my person. Because like I say, when you're urban camping, you just never know, well, where you're going to be and whether you're going to be near the gym that you typically go to for showers and brushing teeth and shaving and stuff, or wherever you end up doing that kind of thing. So again, the opportunities arise to take care of yourself. And so you should have some of the important, more usual toiletry items on you at all times. The bulk of it you may want to stash somewhere, and places to stash stuff would include, well, like I say, your office, if you have an office, or your, you know, like in the filing cabinet under your desk at work or something, wherever you can stash it and count on having it when you need it. That would also include, of course, a friend's house. So even if you don't stay with that friend all the time, if they let you store the bulk of your clothes there, then that would be nice. Or just your shaving kit, as it were, and then you could just go there whenever you need to shave and give yourself a haircut, whatever. I mean, obviously this is all personal preference and stuff, so, but I think you're getting the idea. There are some items that you can stash places. Of course, again, if you've got a gym that you're a member of, you often get a locker, so you could stash your stuff in the locker. If you're at a college, you might also be able to get a locker. I know that one of the schools that I went to had lockers available for like $4 a semester or something ridiculous like that. I think you had to provide your own lock or something, but really, really cheap. And of course, they intended it for film supplies and stuff, but you didn't have to put film supplies in there. So stashing the stuff that you don't want to carry around is a good idea. And the clothes, typically, that's one of those things that are really nice to stash, because clothes, I don't care how few clothes you've got, they always take up room. It's really quite amazing. And unless you want to go to the laundromat like every other day, then you kind of have to have a backlog of clothes. So those are really nice to stash somewhere and not actually have to carry around. Definitely wouldn't want to have to carry my clothes backpack around all the time. And if I had to, I'd be getting rid of a lot of t-shirts. Those are the ways that I keep all my things. Now, the technical or the, I guess, personal everyday backpack, that is the one that is always on your back, or in my case, my back. And that's an important one because that's got your computers in it, or your spare battery, or your cables, or your mouse, or the book that you're reading at that any given moment, whatever. So keeping that one organized is really key, I think. And the way that I ultimately managed to really get that down was, well, first of all, get a backpack with a fair amount of pockets. Pockets can be kind of annoying in one way because you never exactly know where to, you can never seem to remember which pocket holds what, or you forget that a pocket exists, and you're looking around for your little Sansa fuse and wondering how you managed to lose it, and then you remember, oh yeah, there's that little media player pocket at the top of the backpack, and then you dig down in there, and there it is, the Sansa fuse. That can get annoying, but if you get used to it, it gets really, really efficient. Now, even in those cases, I have found that I just have so many cables. I mean, mini USB to USB, micro, tiny little weird USB to normal USB, power cables for every device, those sort of hybrid USB power and data cables for various media players. You have USB thumb drives, Ethernet cables, mouse, USB to micro SD adapter, all kinds of things. And if you just throw them into one pocket and figure, oh, I'll dig through it whenever I need it, I find that that really doesn't work very well. So what I ended up doing was one day, someone at one of my jobs brought me like 20 Sharpie pens that she had gotten on sort of demo or promotion. That's what I'm trying to think of. It was a company promotion or something. And so she had gotten like 20 Sharpies. So she brought me like 20 Sharpies. And absurdly, each Sharpie was packaged in its own individual Ziploc bag. And so what I did was I took all the Sharpies and put them in a pocket of my backpack. I took the individual Ziploc bags, and I used them for all my cables. And I really kind of subdivided pretty severely. Like, so I'd have my iPod data USB and my Sansa Fuse data USB, because of course they don't take the same kind of connector on the other end. So I put both of those cables in one Ziploc. And then I put the power cable for my Nokia in another Ziploc. And then I put some mini USB cables in another Ziploc. And it turned out to be the most brilliant thing I've ever done, because at least then you're reaching in and you're kind of taking out Ziploc bags to look for that one little cable that you need. At least you're not reaching in and just pulling out this spaghetti spider web of tangled cables with a mouse dangling from somewhere in the middle of it. It's frightening when that happens. So to avoid that, I've found subdividing them into Ziploc bags works brilliantly. Everything else, pockets are great, but if you don't have them, hey, you got Ziploc bags left over from the cable organization, throw all your stuff in there. You know, USB keys in one, SD media in another, media players in yet another, whatever kind of setup you've got. Keep subdividing in mind as a good way to kind of keep yourself sane. It helps a lot. I found also when urban camping that having a fork, knife, and a spoon is the best thing you can ever do. And a cup, to be honest, like a travel mug. The fork, knife, and spoon, I just got from a camping supply store. Well, I didn't actually get it from a store. I got it from my dad, who got it from a camping supply store. It wasn't like a fancy spork or a titanium spork from Think Geek or anything like that. It was just a set, and they kind of collapse into each other. They fold up so that they're kind of one unit, but then you can take them all apart and you get a fork and a knife and a spoon. That's brilliant. That just, I don't know, it just makes things so easy. And it's weird because I still have them, and so now that I'm not urban camping currently, it's still great to have, because you just never know when you're going to get free food, and I'm always looking for free food. Sometimes people have already taken all the knives or all the forks, or they're all plastic forks and spoons and knives. And again, I mean, not to be like all ecological and stuff, but really, it is kind of stupid to use plastic knives and stuff when you can have just a metal fork, knife, and a spoon set right there on your person pretty much at all times. So it's not really a bad idea. You might want to look into that. Eventually, I might try to locate like just one of those multi-purpose sporks with the fork and the knife, or the fork and the spoon, or the spork on one end, and then sometimes the edge of the unit will be like a knife, sort of a lightly serrated, or at least kind of a butter kind of knife. So that sounds kind of cool. I just haven't really hunted one down because what I have works. So I don't really want to go spend the extra money on a fancy spork. That's a great thing to have. Another great thing to have, like I said, was a travel mug. My only problem with travel mugs is that they seem to be all really poorly made, or they're made in such a way that they're very hard to clean, and they end up kind of getting gross, and they fall apart, and stuff like that. So I'm not married to the idea of having a travel mug. I like having a travel mug, and I love going out and getting a cup of coffee and just being able to put it in my own mug, because it does, again, just it feels more efficient for people to have a mug of their own than to go to stores or restaurants or whatever and use a mug and then throw it away or whatever. So if I'm going to take the coffee out, I like to have the travel mug, but that does, it just, I don't know, I have not found a very great travel mug yet. And I'm talking about a really good travel mug, like one that's going to be sturdy, that I can chain to like a backpack or something, but also that when I'm finished drinking my coffee, I can just kind of rinse and know that it's not going to get all grimy and smelly afterwards. And I want the lid to be secure and not to like fall apart after 10 uses, which so far has been my experience. So if you know of any good, really good travel mugs, let me know. And honestly, if it was good enough, I'd probably spend some money on it. Like if I was sure that it was a very robust travel mug, I'd put down some money for that. Because I mean, it would be an investment that I could use for a long time, ideally. That's about it for organizing that I can think of. It's kind of an easy topic. It's not that hard to figure out, and yet it is one of those things that you kind of have to live through in order to come up with your own system. I think initially you might find it a little bit difficult to keep track of all your stuff, or at least to understand where all that stuff is. And initially, for me at least, I would inevitably find myself out somewhere, and I would think, oh, I should have brought such and such, and I didn't. So it would always seem like I never had the item that I would end up actually needing. But the more that I started understanding which items were important to just always have on me, the less I would encounter those issues. And that's why I have a backpack just of the stuff that I use in real life, you know, my Nokia, my computer, my cables, all that other good stuff. And then I've got those kind of almost auxiliary backpacks, like the clothes and the non-standard toiletries that I don't have to bring everywhere I go with me. And that's organization for you. So I hope that helps, or I hope it will help if you ever try this for yourself. And I wish I had a good recommendation for what backpack brand to go get. Honestly, I don't. I haven't really fallen in love with any backpack brand yet. Lately, I've been really into this one called Ogio, I think. O-G-I-O, maybe. One of my jobs gave me one, and it's brilliant. It's a great backpack so far. It's got padding on the back so that it's not always like bouncing against your spine, and it's got a lot of pockets, and it's pretty nice. I'm really digging it, but it's still fairly new in my life, so it's hard to commit to that yet. So just, you know, try a couple of different brands out, see what you can afford, see how durable they are. Don't be afraid to swap them out if they're just not working for you. Just try to upgrade however you can. Okay, so that's it. That's all for organization. Hope that helps. Hope it was all informative. Next episode, we're going to be talking about food. How to get food when urban camping. Interesting problem. Well, we'll explore it in detail next time on How to Be an Urban Camper on Hacker Public Radio. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to Hack Republic Radio. HPR is sponsored by Caro.net, so head on over to caro.net for all your hosting needs. Thank you for listening to Hack Republic Radio. HPR is sponsored by Caro.net, so head on over to caro.net for all your hosting needs.